Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Ah, the old melody for the main course. It's nice to hear it back. Thanks, Joe. How was your weekend, Joe?
Weekend has been great. It's kind of cool and chilly, starting to feel like fall.
Nice.
I like it.
Nice. Well, you are listening to the main course. We are broadcasting live out of Roberta's Restaurant, 261 Moore Street in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And we are engineered, as you heard, by Joe Galarraga, the lead singer of the band. Oh, I'm going to forget. What is it?
Big Ups.
Big Ups. Have you given us the right to use any of your songs?
Well, we have a new record coming out in January, and you can have all of those songs forever and ever.
Very nice. Maybe you might want to consult your band members. I can tell you're the lead. You're the Mick Jagger. You just make the decision. You don't have to talk to anybody. Well, I am very excited about what happened at radio last week. It was super, super exciting. Basically, what's happening is we're transforming a little bit from a solely show station where, you know, 30 great hosts come in and do their shows. That, of course, will still happen, and we hope to have more shows as we grow. But in addition to those shows is going to be basically a new way of interfacing with all the food news that we cover. And Aaron and Jack and Joe and the whole team on the network is going to work towards 3 to 5 minute stories that cover serious issues about food, which, you know, we always maintain are often ignored by the style sections and, you know, the food magazines and food television. So, you know, we hope to help contribute some constructive information about the, you know, serious side of food, whether that be in the category of health or science and technology or pleasure or an opinion piece. So anyway, it's very, very exciting, and we think we'll have a lot more listeners when we go into that format. Also remember, we're a 501c3 organization, a membership supported group, so hopefully you will go on our website and sign up for the $120 membership level, which gives you a free beautiful tote bag with the HRN logo only on one side. That's the only bad news about it. HRN logo is only on one of the two sides, but other than that, it's a worthwhile investment and helps us continue our programming. Well, I'm very excited to have a God, I don't want to say childhood friend because it doesn't go that far back, but it has been 10 years almost that I've known my guest, Jimmy Tu. Welcome, Jimmy.
All right. Hi, everybody.
And I am very happy you're here. We originally knew each other from a restaurant called Tigerland, which we'll start the interview with. But you've since gone on to do many things and travel, and now you have come and opened an unbelievably good restaurant just a few blocks from here. It's in Queens, but it, you know, it's very close to Brooklyn, right on the edge there. And that's called Bunker. And I ate there, and it was delicious. So we're going to talk about all this. We're going to talk about Asian cultures mixing, and it's going to be a great interview. So we are going to take a very short break, and then we're going to come back with our only guest today, Jimmy Tu, and talk about Tigerland to start things off.
You're listening to Favorite Flower by Pamela Royal on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Stay tuned for more from the main course.
Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
The American West. I love that West. Anyway, we are back. You're listening to The Main Course. I'm your host, Patrick Martins. We're broadcasting live out of Roberta's, engineered by Joe Galarraga, and in studio with us, Jimmy Two. So tell us about what you were trying to do with Vietnamese food back in the mid-2000s at Tigerland, which was located right next to Benny's Burrito on Avenue B in the East Village, right?
Or Avenue A.
Avenue A, okay.
Yeah. Well, with Tigerland, I just came back from out west. I was in San Francisco. And I went out there in pursuit of pretty much getting experience with sourcing good ingredients, and I got a great experience out there working with Daniel Patterson at then it was Elizabeth Daniels restaurant, and he got great stuff. Everything was sourced, you know, a lot of it was local, and coming back to New York, wanted to do something with my sister, and we wanted to do Vietnamese food, which is the food we grew up with. And we wanted to do it with the same concept with, you know, great ingredients. So everything was sourced, and a lot of things was organic, from our rice to our, you know, all our vegetables, our limes and everything. And so, yeah, we, you know, we try to bring Vietnamese food. It was a Vietnamese anti.
Now, let me ask you. If someone were to ask about American food, to me, I would say, well, you know, the Southwest, there's a Tex-Mex energy, you know, in the Southeast, there's barbecue and Southern food, there's certain dishes that are common, you know, New England has its specific spot, you know, and the, obviously the Pacific Northwest has its own cuisine and it's very lush there, like a rainforest. How is it with Vietnamese food? Are there different schools? Like you say, I brought Vietnamese food here. Was there a specific category of it or genre of it?
Definitely. I mean, there's definitely regional Vietnamese food. There's the colonial where the French, you know, they occupied Vietnam for a minute, and there's a big French influence from the banh mi sandwiches to, you know, butter and even the pho, where it's kind of unclear exactly the origins of pho. Some attributed to the Vietnamese trying to cater to the French, and but as far as the cuisine goes, it's definitely unique compared to Thai. I mean, they use a lot of similar ingredients, but the Thai cuisine is definitely a lot more spicy, pungent, sour. It's much more like in your face, where I think Vietnamese food is much cleaner.
It's elegant, sophisticated, or you're not elegant, I just mean pure, cleaner kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's healthier. I believe they eat a lot more greens and herbs and vegetables and a lot more seafood, because you know, it's the coastline of Vietnam is, you know, extends the whole country.
Right. Well, very interesting. And once you so then Tigerland ended, and then you wanted to go. What did you do between Tigerland and when you went to live in Vietnam to work with, you know, trailing street vendors and learning more about the cuisine there firsthand?
My dad lives in Vietnam in Ho Chi Minh City, and it's called Cho Long. It's the Chinatown of Vietnam. And went out there, spent some time with him, traveled the country, pretty much eating, you know, street food, and meeting a lot of restaurateurs, and they really were really open to what I, you know, I would just eat at a establishment like maybe three times, four times in like 2 days, and I would just befriend the cook. And they would take me back in the kitchen and, you know, just show me how there are simple preparations. And, you know, it just, it was just really surprising, like all these street food, the quality of the ingredients. You know, it was all locally sourced, fresh, you know.
Where would they source these? Would you go with them to markets or see markets, or did they just have direct deliveries?
I have, yeah. I've been. They took me to some of the markets.
Yeah.
Ben Than Market in Ho Chi Minh, in Hoi An. There was a great market by the water.
Who are the farmers there? All people with very small plots with just a few things, or are there bigger farms that congregate all the food and distribute it for the farmers?
With the street foods, it was smaller farms. Mm-hmm. And just the quality of the ingredients was just, to me, it was amazing. Everything was just super fresh, you know. And that was, you know, some of the best food I had out there was at the night markets and the street markets and the freshest seafood, you know.
Would it be eaten for breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Yeah.
That food?
Yeah.
And we say street food. That seems to connote, you know, to imply, oh, you know, it's street food. Yeah. It's like a slice of pizza. What?
It's not like fast food like how we have it here, you know?
Yeah.
It's actually healthy. Usually it's just one dish and they just make a, you know, kick-ass version, and it's, you know, because that's the only dish they make.
And, I mean, is it considered, street food there? I mean, obviously you eat it on the street and it's available on the street.
But it is, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you could go down with a family, go down, you know, for a family of four and go get street food.
Definitely.
And bring it back to the house and eat
and
it.
Definitely. I mean, and, you know, some vendors are like really well known where there's a line, mm-hmm. you know, and
it's fascinating that yeah. ingredients are the best
yeah.
with the street food. That's the difference. And for American, it's hard to figure that because it's such crappy ingredients
yeah.
with, you know, the hot dog vendors here and whatever street food we have, for the most part. There's a whole new generation now. But so how long were you there, and what kind of, you know, what kind of things were you actually learning? Recipes or just subtle treatment of the ingredients? And
yeah, just not really recipes. And again, like learning to cook from, you know, these street vendors, there is no recipe. There'll be like a handful of this, season this till it's, you know,
yeah,
it's salty or.
Now, you have an interesting, I asked you, you know, where you're from, and you're like, well, I consider myself Chinese. I'm of Chinese descent, but I was born in Thailand, but I was raised in Vietnam and Queens.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting mix of cultures. So talk about a little bit about that. I mean, how is it that were there many people like you that would also be of Chinese descent but have generations in Vietnam? Was it a community? How did that melting pot
yeah
happen?
In Vietnam there's a lot of Chinese people, and I mean, I guess it's, we're right next to China,
uh-huh.
and there's like, you know, there's Chinatown.
Is it similar to the one here in New York in terms of food? When you go into the restaurant and you're eating in the restaurant, is it similar or very different?
Somewhat similar.
Okay.
Like, you know, they have dim sum, they have like their Peking duck,
mm-hmm.
But it's huge, you know. It's called Chalong mm-hmm. in Ho Chi Minh City, and it's huge, and I think most of the Vietnamese restaurants in New York City is Chinese Vietnamese. Mm. And I mean, what was the question?
Well, so I was just wondering, is Chinese, you know, have their expatriate communities in San Francisco, Vietnam, New York City, is the cuisine basically taste the same? And
well, in New York City, I think I feel like the Vietnamese food is not well represented in New York City, just because there's not a big Vietnamese population.
Oh, okay.
As far as there's a lot of Chinese Vietnamese in New York, but if you go to like Philadelphia, Virginia, Houston, Minnesota, even or L.A., the Vietnamese food is far superior, because there's a much bigger Vietnamese population.
And where there's more population, there's more competition. There's
well, they're
more
catering
knowledge.
It to the Vietnamese taste. Whereas here, I feel like a lot of the Vietnamese restaurants, it's just the same formula. Mm. It's the same, like, you know, outline of dishes. And
Well, let's transition to talk about your restaurant. In January of this year, you opened Bunker at 4663 Metropolitan Avenue. I know it's Queens, but it really feels like Brooklyn. I mean, you could walk there from Roberta's, basically. So tell us about that. I mean, what inspired you to open it? Was it to do justice to Vietnamese cuisine here in the city and teach people about it?
I wouldn't say to do justice to Vietnamese cuisine, but just growing up, I was raised by my aunt and uncle while my parents were working, and they were great Vietnamese cooks. And I never had, like, you know, Vietnamese food like that, except for, you know, in Vietnam or in Orange County in California. And with my travels in Vietnam, I really wanted to bring the great street food flavors, the simplicity, and it's just about great ingredients, you know, good techniques.
Well, now here in the States, I mean, here in New York, we were talking about great ingredients. I mean, that costs more too, right? I mean,
yes, that's the challenge where we want to, you know, we want to offer it at a, you know, affordable price. So, and at the same time, I don't want to compromise with ingredients. So we have to find that balance.
Well, how do you do it? I mean, I always ask chefs this. I mean, how do you make buy great ingredients and still keep it competitively priced? It's how you portion it out or the spice. I mean,
yeah, I mean, you guys help us big time. You know, you guys give us great products, good prices.
Yeah,
we use offcuts.
Oh, okay,
you know,
okay.
We just certain dishes that certain ingredients we can't use, but same thing with we have a great seafood connect.
Oh yeah,
yeah, Blue Ribbon fish. And,
okay,
yeah, at the fish market.
Well, let's quickly talk about fish and chips since you mentioned that, and then we'll get back to Bunker because I have a few more questions about it. But since you bring it up, you were had a boutique seafood supply company that was derailed by Hurricane Sandy. But what were you trying to do with that project?
Well, we had another partner. That's how we started Fish and Ship. And, yes, we were going to be a boutique.
It's a great name, smart name, Fish and Ship.
My brother came up with that. We really liked it. And we were going to do some retail, too. But our main thing was he had a connect in Puerto Rico where we were shipping seafood down there. And we took on a couple of other clients here. And it was going well, and we ran into some complications, but especially with Sandy, where we didn't have flood insurance, and a lot of the damages.
No one had flood insurance.
Yeah.
Everyone realized that
after the fact. But
So what were you getting down from Puerto Rico? They would get you fish that were being locally sourced?
No, we were shipping to them.
Oh, you were shipping to them. I see.
We were shipping. You know, to a lot of the high-end restaurants, to the hotels and, you know, country clubs. And
you were sourcing them here, relationships with individual fishermen and other distributors and such?
Yeah,
How did that happen? I mean,
it was my previous partner.
I see. Had a connection with Puerto
Rico. Yeah, okay. So we started at Matt.
Very interesting. That's a crazy, I always joke with my wife, Ann, that she was a cheesemonger, you know, that fishmongers are the worst. They're always mean because their food is spoiling so fast. They're always frenetic. Meat guys are in the middle, and she's a cheesemonger, so she improves with age. She's never has to like sell something immediately. But tell us now, back to Bunker. So it's a pun on bun, right? Bunker, is that right? I read that somewhere.
I mean, it's a lot of things. It's always changing.
Yeah,
you know?
Why you call
but
it
But at one point when he came up with the sign for the, you know, the store, yeah, it was. We were planning to do more focus on buns. Mm-hmm. Like there's a famous, it's called Bun Cha, which is, it's like grilled pork patties with grilled marinated pork with the spring rolls over the bun, which is the vermicelli noodles.
Uh-huh.
And it's awesome, you know.
Well, very interesting. So now tell us some of the dishes you make there. So Cha Cha La Vong is a namesake dish of a legendary, you know, hole in the wall in Hanoi, right?
Yeah. It's not it's not even, I wouldn't even call it like a Vietnamese dish. It was more of a Vietnamese family dish that they made famous, you know, really famous. It's the restaurant's been around for, I believe, maybe over 100 years. Or, wow. And that's the only dish they serve.
One dish only.
Yeah. Huh? Which is,
and you've been there, and it's
yeah, I've been great. There. Been and there a couple of times.
So you tried to recreate it? Is it as good?
It's a little different.
Yeah.
You know, but I would say yes, it is, yes. You know.
And what else are you trying to do there? Now, she wrote this. I disagree with this. I read a New York Times review. You were reviewed soon after you opened. Bunker's a reminder that street food does not have to be elevated to be great. I just disagree that it is great. I mean, I had a great experience there, but I see what she meant. You don't have to try to make it into something that it's not.
Yeah.
And we really appreciated when I went with Aaron and the chef from Momo Sushi, we really appreciated how we felt like we were getting something, I guess, honest and pure. I mean, could you explain how hard it is or how unusual it is to just find plain food that's not trying to, like, blow your mouth up with different, you know, explosions of taste?
A lot of people are really surprised when I show them how a dish is made. And I feel like it comes with experience, too. You know, as when I was younger, I always felt like I got to do something extra. I got to do this. But as you become more confident, like with, I guess, experience and, you know, cooking, I love simple stuff. And I'm confident enough to put it out there, just...
As is. It's like Chez Panisse.
You know?
It takes real balls to do that. Yeah. I mean, Chez Panisse is like 90% of cuisine is agriculture. I mean, that's an extreme.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you're obviously Chez Panisse also does stuff to the food, but it is really refreshing because that's how people want to eat most of the time.
That's how I want to eat.
Yeah.
You know?
That's 5 days a week. Mm. Yeah, sure. You want a flight of fancy, of tastes every now and then, but not every day.
And Vietnamese cuisine, you know, it's... a lot of it is just balance. Same thing with the Southeast Asian cuisine. A balance with the salty, sweet, mm-hmm. you know, sour, fish sauce mainly. Like, you know, mm-hmm. Vietnamese cuisine, is a lot of it is the balancing of fish sauce and sugar, mm-hmm. sweetness and the salty.
Yeah. That's why I can keep eating it. It's yeah. like dessert, and then like I can just eat more of the actual food. You get all these tastes. I love it. It's very unbelievable cuisines. So you started the restaurant. Just give our listeners a little, history on how you actually started Bunker. I know you opened it with a lot of close friends of yours, Adam, Maria, Jackie. Just how does it start? You found a space and then you knock on the landlord's door and say, hey, I want to rent this place. Give us the headlines of from when you first saw that space to today.
Well, when we saw the space... obviously, the rent was really good.
Because you're like 8 blocks away from Bushwick, yeah. or, you know, from a subway. So you are a little bit out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, we just read a Yelp review yesterday saying, like, there's nothing around there except for a prison, metal shops and, you know, junkyards. And I mean, I guess that's pretty much true. Because when we were opening up the seafood, the location really didn't matter.
Yeah,
you know, I guess is some of it's to our advantage now.
Do those people come to your place? The people that work in the prisons and then the junkyards and all that. I mean, it must be an interesting
when we were
mix.
Open for lunch, we got a lot more of them.
Okay,
we will relaunch lunch a little later on, but
we're gonna do takeout every single day. I guarantee you, we're gonna be thinking about it at least.
That'll be awesome, but. Yeah, we're using a lot of that to our advantage because there's, like, no residents around there where we fixed up the backyard. We're going to build up the rooftop where we could have live music or, you know, make as much noise. We could do whatever we want because there's nobody around there.
Yeah, and there's no residential there. It's probably not going to change anytime soon. It's industrial.
Yeah, and we're getting our alcohol and license.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
For you guys especially. Yeah. And then you just built up the place, like... Miranda's your wife. She's a kindergarten teacher. Would she and you and your staff just like decorate the stuff with things that you had had in your house?
Our front of the house guy, Roy. Which is a really old friend of mine from way back. We used to skate back in Elmhurst. Hmm. And it just so happened when we were making the transition, he approached me. He used to work with Charlie Palmer. Managing the catering
Here in New York, right?
Yes.
Right, Oriole, is that place?
What was it called? Yeah, it was Oriole, but it was, he had...
At that second place.
Yeah. After.
Yeah, I forget the name of that one.
But he wanted to come on board, so everything just worked out, and, you know, he's the designer.
Okay. It's great in there. Every time you look, you see some mask or something you didn't see before.
Yeah, he's great with, he's going to do t-shirts and, you know, logo designs and interior designing. And
that's great. And just a last question about Bunker. Tell us some of the dishes. So when people come there, how do they order off the menu? I mean, what are the types of things that you want to lead people towards?
I mean,
what's
we
on
try
the
to
menu?
Keep a small menu,
yeah,
and I want to make sure everything is just, you know, really good.
A lot of specials that hang from the ceiling.
Yeah, we get a lot of seafood specials on the weekends. Definitely, like our bun shell, which is it's like a crispy crepe. It's a started with my mom's recipe, which I took a little bit of stuff from my aunt in California and stuff from Vietnam, but. It's basically my mom's recipe that I thought was the best bun shell, you know, that I've ever had, which is a crepe with pork belly and shrimp, eggs.
Oh, man.
And
that's
something I think it's really good there. Our curry ga, chicken curry.
Hmm. Cool. Yeah, well, it's all delicious. But, you know, it's still basically you just get a bunch of dishes and you share it. Right.
I mean, yeah. It's definitely it's good to share.
Yeah, for sure. Now, do the Yelp reviews anger you and make you lose sleep at night, or are you just like
not at all? I mean, as long as people come and you know, I mean,
it is full.
Yeah, you're not going to please everybody. I've come to learn that. You know, as long as certain people appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah. I'm just pissed Joe off earlier today. You know, he was pissed at me. Yeah, but now he's going to like me again. People come up and down. Yeah, you have to just do your thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you see who stays and who goes.
And I think our diners are, you know, they're great. They're really cool. Very different from when I had Tigerland in the city. But
I love that place, Tigerland. It was what? It was either two steps up or two steps down from the street, right?
Two steps up.
Up, yeah.
Yeah.
What a weird place. I mean, just part of the city, I mean.
Yeah.
And then it was like a sunken restaurant. It was a little bit into the street.
Yeah, it used to be a Kim's Video.
Yeah.
It was there forever. And right now, actually, there's something pretty interesting in that space that I wanted to try out. It's Northern Thai cuisine. I forget the name of it, but...
Ooh, that'd be interesting. Yeah, I'd love to go to a place that's like just Northern Thai.
Yeah,
it's like
Northern
Italian. But I think too often these Pan-Asian things or you know, you do it in a good way because you do have a connection to all the places, but sometimes you lose the sense of the regionality when... So anyway, it is interesting. I always ask when I'm at a restaurant, well, is this from the north or the south?
Yeah.
Or, you know, Japan is a big thing with sake. I'm like, is this southern, northern? Like, it must make a difference, right? Because it's such a long... but anyway, yeah, sometimes... I would like to know the regionality differences of those cuisines more, but that exists there now where Tigerland is currently?
Yes.
Well, okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I know you're busy. You're training new people. Have you had an issue, by the way, with sous chefs? We've been hearing so many restaurants complain that they cannot find quality line cooks or sous chefs to help in the kitchen. Have you experienced that?
Definitely. I feel like... keeping staff, finding good cooks, it's definitely a challenge.
Mm.
I think the restaurant industry has changed a lot from when I started cooking.
Which is? What year?
2001?
Wow.
No. 96, sorry.
96?
1996.
Well, then we started together. That's almost when I went to Slow Food to work.
Yeah?
So, career trajectories are timed very close to each other. A lot's happened, huh? Since those days. It's unbelievable.
There's a lot more cooks out there, but I feel like they don't have the patience.
Correct. Yeah. I agree with that. But it's also ironic. So many kids are graduating from these schools. You would think that there would just be too many chefs, but it's the opposite. So It's an interesting story.
Different expectations, too, coming out of cooking school. You know.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. Yeah, they want to be already kings of the hill and have their own restaurant.
Yeah.
I also think it's more people moving to other cities. You know, New York and San Fran do not have a monopoly anymore on the people who really want to do great stuff. You can go to Little Rock, Arkansas and open a beautiful restaurant, you know. So do you take reservations? How should people reserve at, or do they just show up?
Unfortunately, no. We don't do reservations. But
if you go, you feel like you're in a Jim Jarmusch movie. You just hang out, and it's bring your own alcohol, right? But there's
a Western
Beef right around the corner.
Right around the corner. There's a liquor store.
Okay.
They have a bunch of different beers and Western Beef. But we're building out a little waiting area, you know. So eventually you could order food, get drinks while you wait.
Awesome. You should have a little street cart with serving some banh mi's while they wait. Little small. No, just kind of the street, putting the street food into street food. Well, anyway, thank you so much, Jimmy. I've been a fan of your cuisine for, you know, over a decade. Absolutely, Aaron and I love Bunker and really recommend that people make the trek out there. I want to thank everyone for listening. You've been listening to The Main Course. Coming up next is going to be Katie Kiefer's What Doesn't Kill You, followed by Mike and Judy's show. So thanks to Joe for engineering. Thanks to everyone for listening. And keep on listening to HRN. Thanks. Bye.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.